bless you as you give.
Before we start, I just wanted to go over something real quick. A lot of you people, I'm sorry, everyone will recognize, some people will recognize this song as an old folk song, but I just wanted to correct some of the things in here. This is all just to glorify what my Savior has done for me. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah crossed over the Jordan River and then went up to his home in heaven. And one day that's what we're going to do too. And this is what this is about.
Like was said, and telling God sometimes, even in a complaining type of mode, telling God how big our storm is. And I just wondered if we could just turn that around and start telling our storm how big our God is. I wonder if that would help. Amen. Amen. My God is bigger than any problem I've ever had so far. I just got a feeling that'll hold till we get home.
Amen. Amen.
Appreciate that that singing. Appreciate that song. Appreciate the truth of the songs we sing. They're not just entertaining. They're true. I like that. Take your Bible tonight and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll begin reading verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says this. Now Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And that's there's an expression that they have called ASAP, as soon as possible. This is where it came from, right there. That's what Paul's asking for. He's asking for help, and he's asking Timothy to come to him because he needs him. And then he goes on and says, "Why? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments." Amen. Paul is calling out for help, and he tells us why. His fellow laborer, according to Philemon, his fellow traveling companion, according to Colossians chapter 4, the Bible said, has abandoned him, has forsaken him. He's gone missing. I'll call this tonight, Brother Justin, missing in action. Missing in action. Because that's where Demas is. And it's kind of scary to me because as I look at Demas, he just literally ran with the cream of the crop for several years. Amen. As a fellow laborer, only seven mentioned by name. Amen. And every time I read that, it just reminds me that even though we're in the battle, even though maybe we're faithful, maybe we've got some victories, if we don't keep our guard up, and I was thinking today, the passage in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant. That means keep your guard up. That means pay attention to what's going on. And it says, because your adversary. But I tell you what, he's not your only adversary, the devil. You got to have to keep your guard up. You're going to have to be sober, be diligent when it comes to your flesh. Because temptations are everywhere. And here you've got a solid, sold out child of God in the battle, doing some things for God. And now he's missing. And when I read through that, it reminds me of something that it's good for us all to be reminded of on occasion. If we're not careful, it can happen to us. And there's empty pews in little churches like this all across America where I preach that once were occupied by people, Lord willing, as sold out as you are tonight. But something happened, and I don't want to know all the details. I just know I don't want it to happen to me. Amen. I remember telling Brother Eastep one time, I said, "Preacher, the more I learn about Jesus Christ, the more I learn about how much he loved me, the more I learn about what he went through to make a way for me not only to have my sins forgiven in eternity, but to have the best possible life I could have ever imagined down here. The more I learn about the Lord, the more afraid I am that I'm going to fail him." You know, my preacher looked at me and said, "Hold that thought, and you probably won't." people that think they got it figured out. It's people that think they got it down pat. It's people that think it can never happen to them. That's what happens to them. That's what happened here. Amen. Now, there is an argument made by some research that I did that perhaps that we're famous for being too hard on people. Maybe the conventional theologians are being too hard on old Demas because, you know, maybe he just forsook Paul. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me." And Paul was a pretty intense character, say the least. He was focused. He is focused when he is lost. And boy, when he got saved, he took all that energy and he dedicated it to the cause of Jesus Christ. And in Demas' defense, somebody said, "Well, maybe just Paul intimidated him, and he didn't leave God. He didn't leave the faith. He didn't leave the work. He just left Paul." And that, you know, there's always somebody, some public defender mentality to try to find something good. But it occurs to me that nowhere in Scripture do you have Paul ever insinuating that Barnabas forsook him. They had a massive disagreement over John Mark. In Acts 15 and 39, it says, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Two of the greatest Christians on the planet at the time had a personal conflict that caused them to separate. Neither one was wicked. Amen. Sin didn't come in. Amen. And sometimes disagreements do cause people to separate, but that's not the case with Demas, because the Scripture is careful to tell us what the problem was. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Amen. Demas was an understudy of Paul, and Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he wrote this right here, of which I'm sure that Demas would have been well familiar. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Demas' upbringing in the Lord, amen, made him familiar with the dangers of trusting the world. And now you've got a text in here that indicts him, if you will, for having loved it, loved this present world. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, a familiar verse. John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." There's a lot of admonitions about the danger of developing an emotional attachment to this world. It doesn't say you can't enjoy things of the world. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you can't have a good time. Amen. I enjoy what I do. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all things richly to enjoy." Listen, I'll tell you, sometimes I'll get to church and a preacher will go to, get the church ready to take up an offering, and he'll go to the expense of the fuel or the upkeep, or the Spurgeons left their house in Ohio and live in this little motor home. And I mean, sometimes he'll paint a sad story about this great sacrifice we're making for Jesus Christ. And my wife and I listen to that and look at each other and go, "Man, I don't know who they're talking about, but me and her's having a time of our life." Amen. We do not apologize for enjoying serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one bit. I'm having a ball. Let me tell you, I'm having more fun than some of you right now. I can tell that right now. Amen. So it doesn't say you can't enjoy things. You know, I talked about the Lord laid it on my heart. I mean, made it real clear to sell all my motorcycles. And I finally did. And then he called me to preach. That was pretty good confirmation. I made the right choice. And I told you, I stayed off them, but I don't stay off them anymore. I go riding when I get a chance. I'm talking now about richly enjoying things. A couple months ago, after a good meeting in Los Angeles, meeting was done, and pastor had a motorcycle, went up there to LAX, rented a brand new Harley, took off with four of their brethren up the California coast, 300 miles, and just riding, watching the sun go down in the Pacific Ocean. I apologize to no one for enjoying that very much. But I don't love it. If I loved it, I probably would have went down and hocked something and tried to make a way to get a motorcycle in the bedroom of that motorhome. I don't know. My wife said, yeah, there's a way to do it. You know, it can be in my spot, you know, so I ain't going that way. It says if you love the things of the world, it doesn't say you're not saved. It says the love of the Father's not in you. Love, again, is an emotion. And if you develop an emotional attachment to the things of this world, beloved, I'm telling you, it will seriously interfere with your ability to love the things that you're commanded to love. Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Brother Dean quoted it, four words, love God, love people, right out of Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang the law and all the prophets. That's just what he said in four words, right there out of Matthew 22. Listen, and then there's a new commandment in John 13. A new commandment I give unto thee, you love one another as I have loved you. That you also... Now see, if you develop... Here's why the admonition comes to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you develop an emotional relationship with the things of this world, it will seriously interfere with your ability to love what God has told you, what He's commanded you to love. And I look at Demas' service for the Lord Jesus Christ for a couple of years, and I think, well, this guy had to write love for the right things, at least for a while. But the passage records his finish. This is last mention of him. That he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. And it goes on and says this. And has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. This is why Paul needs help. Only Luke is with him. Three preacher boys mentioned in that verse. Went to three different cities. Only one of them didn't go to serve the Lord, see? Not Demas. Demas went to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a town, a city, a very famous port city, very prosperous port city in Asia Minor. Amen. At the time when Paul was making his missionary journeys, Demas was there with him. Demas was aware of this city. When he chose to leave the work, leave the God that he'd been serving, leaving Paul, loving this present world, that's where he went. Wondered about that. It was a very famous city amongst merchants and sailors. You know what it had? Nightlife. Nightlife. You ever think about that term, nightlife? It says in John chapter 3 that men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. Well, what kind of nightlife did they have in Thessalonica? Well, they had an elaborate system of houses of ill repute. Is anybody not clear on what that is? That's prostitution. Okay? It was a very lascivious, had an underbelly, amen, like every big city does, of immorality and immoral behavior, lasciviousness, the things mentioned in the Bible, things that attract the flesh, things that Paul warns the Christian about, had opium dens. Amen. Liquor's always been around. But cities like that, where there was commerce, seaports, there'd be those opium dens and everything that goes with it, man. Well, Demas didn't go to serve the Lord. Now, what is it that he saw there in maybe in a previous missionary journey that when he decided to leave God, he headed back to... You know what? That kind of stuff may or may not have attracted Demas, but I'll tell you what, it sure enough has attracted enough in this day and age. Demas wouldn't have been the first, but sad to report, no, he wouldn't have been the last to fall to lasciviousness. And boy, beloved, New York City, come on. You guys got the challenge before you. I mean, all that stuff's everywhere, but you got it, man. And it's more important than ever that you keep your guard up because, well, you don't want that to be your testimony, do you? You don't want to be missing in action. You're going to have to be careful. Don't take it for granted. It'll never happen. You know what else is going on in Thessalonica? It's amazing to me that Demas went there because there's a great church there. There's a great church there. Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father. Maybe a work that Demas helped establish. You know what that means? Demas went back to this city and their chances were just real good that he was going to see people that recognized him. Maybe other Christians, maybe people he'd even preached to. Boy, that discourages the heart of a brethren when a Christian falls. Listen, it's a sad truth tonight that when a Christian decides they're not going to live for God anymore, it has a negative effect on others. It's called collateral damage. It's a crying shame because there's no acceptable collateral damage in this spiritual warfare. Amen. But people affect people. That's how that goes. I wonder if he might have run in, maybe going in and out of some of these places that attracted him, that caused him to fall in love with the things of the world, the things that excited his flesh and got him out of the good fight. I wonder if maybe he ran into some people who might have recognized him, maybe standing on a street corner, lifting up whatever scripture he had, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I wonder, what do you think goes through a lost person's mind when they see somebody that has a testimony and a reputation of being a faithful child of God, and then they fall? It just gives them ammunition to reject our Savior even more. But it's interesting, and I noticed this traveling around, that when Christians backslide, they don't go off on their own. They always seem to hang around on the fringe. As a matter of fact, I've noticed that they like to stay in touch with each other. I know people that are friends on Facebook that weren't friends in real life, that didn't talk to each other, amen, in the church until for one reason or another they went their separate ways and now they're buddies. It's amazing to me. It happens all the time. That Facebook thing blows my mind. I'm going to tell you why. And then I'll move on. I can't understand why anybody would be inclined to broadcast to the world what rebellious losers they are by bragging about behavior they should be ashamed of. Amen. And that goes on all the time. Now, if you're not doing that, well, then don't worry about it. But, okay, I'd love to. I cannot figure out why anybody would be inclined to broadcast on an international public forum what rebellious losers they are by bragging about a behavior they should be ashamed of. Amen. I don't get that. That's beyond me. But I know this. That kind of thing right there provides ammunition for the scoffers who are already critical. Amen? Listen, Margaret's got a burden for her brother. Her brother is already on very shaky ground, not knowing if there's even a God or not. And she wants to be able to get a prayer through. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What if one day Margaret got upset with somebody, went on Facebook, and started talking bad about another Christian? What do you think that would do to her brother? That would just feed that. I knew that there wasn't nothing different about them people. Well, she's not going to do that. But you better think about it before you do it. It damns the unsaved when Christians behave themselves in such a way. It causes the daughters of the Philistines to rejoice. Well, there's a passage over in Samuel where it talked about the daughters of the... I mean, that's the devil's crowd, man. That's the enemy's crowd. I don't want them. Listen, if I do something stupid, I don't want the devil's crowd to find out about it so they can rejoice in it. Amen? I'll tell you something else. It discourages the heart of the brethren. So if you've ever sown discord, if you've ever gossiped on any social media, because, you know, I take Facebook and you go, yeah, uh-huh, there's 19 other social media things. I'm not on Facebook. I know how this works. I have teenagers. I ask them to tell me how it goes, you know. If you ever gossiped or sowed discord anywhere, anytime, you need to get right with God. You need to repent of it. You need to confess it as sin. And if you need to apologize to somebody, you need to go to them and get that thing right before the devil uses it anymore. Are we having fun yet? I'm having fun. I know what I'm preaching tonight is what happened to demons, but you know what? How do you get around that? He went to a place with a church. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't say any more about Demas than what we read. He forsook Paul, having loved this present world. But I'll tell you what the Bible does talk about. The Bible talks about some things that lead to that. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. Preventive. You hear me? Let's pray. I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for what they mean to us. Thank you for the blessing and encouragement that we get when we come here. They have no idea. Father God, I pray that you'd continue to meet with us tonight. I pray, God, that you might take something that's said and be a help to somebody. Father, I love these folks, so I hope they get that. But God, I pray that what you'd have preached tonight would be a help. Lord, there's somebody here that's not saved. Pray you save them. There's somebody here that's teetering on the line and not all the way in, but not all the way out. I pray that tonight will be the night they got all the way in, lest they be remembered like this, like a Christian that got out and forsook the work and loved a world that hates them. Father, please, I just pray and ask you to do something that only you can do in our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I got thinking about what could have caused that. Take your Bible, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, and verse 15. Now, it says this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It does not begin with, like Romans 12:1, for example, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It doesn't say that at all. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a command. Amen. We're to have a relationship with our Bible that can make us either approved unto God or leave us ashamed of ourselves if we're not studying to show ourselves approved unto God. It says in Psalm 119, you're familiar with the passage in verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse number 11, everyone knows, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now we know, according to Galatians chapter 5, there's a struggle. When you get saved, you enter into a spiritual battle with an old nature and a new nature that you didn't have to worry about before you had a new nature. It says in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Again, beloved, there is a war going on between the old nature and the Spirit of God within you, the new nature. And the God of this world, now we know this well, the God of this world has raised the stakes in the last days, and the temptation to compromise and succumb to carnality and even quit, like Brother Dean was talking about in one of the songs, to throw in the towel is greater than ever. And so it occurred to me that if simply hiding the Word of God in your heart can help combat this all-important battle with the flesh and the world and the devil simply by hiding the Word of God in your heart, that in and of itself makes your Bible more important than we give it credit to be. What happened to Demas tonight? Well, it says he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. I wonder if perhaps his relationship with the Scriptures that he had, I wonder if somewhere along the way that relationship might have slipped. Well, I don't know for sure, but I've seen this come to pass more than a few times since I've been saved. And so I'll warn you, if you let your relationship with the Scriptures slip, well, you might end up missing an action too. Missing in action tonight. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then over in Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Well, that Bible's more important than we know it. We know it. We know it's inspired. We know it's inerrant. We tuck it under our arm and we look down on people that don't know it. Come on, you know it's true. But I'll tell you what, we need to get that thing in our heart so that we won't sin against God. And so maybe that's where Demas dropped the ball. I don't know. Maybe it was here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says this. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Yeah. It says, in all thy ways, even those little ways that you've already got figured out, or those things that you can handle. You don't need to take to God. You don't need God to direct your path. You've been there before. You got some experience. That's the way we are. We treat God like spare tire in the trunk of our car. Well, it's there if I need it. Can I tell you tonight, you need him a whole lot more than he needs you. Amen. Maybe we're talking about Demas tonight. Demas did a work for God. You got to remember back in the time and the day and age where he spent a couple years traveling with Paul. Listen, their lives were on the line. They were arrested, incarcerated, stoned, killed. Amen. It was a regular thing. This guy stood up for Jesus Christ. But we only remember him as being AWOL. Maybe he got to where he wasn't asking God for direction anymore. Maybe he got a little knowledge. Maybe he got a little experience. Maybe he got to a place and a point of spirituality where he just started operating under his own speed. That's a scary thing. Maybe he felt he knew what to do and didn't need to ask God to direct his path. Maybe he must have started directing his own path, because God did not direct his path the way he went. God didn't do that. He failed to acknowledge God somewhere, because God sure enough didn't tell him to forsake Paul, having loved this present world that the Bible warns us not to love. Let me tell you something tonight. If you're not acknowledging God in all your ways, in all your ways, well, you're directing your own path. I don't know about you, but that's not real hard for me to stop and be reminded how that was working out before I got saved. I don't know how long I was in jail, but one morning it occurred to me when I woke up in that little yellow box that I was living in, that, you know, there just might be an outside chance that me and my friends, I mean, just might be possible. We weren't as smart as we thought, because I was sure getting tired of being in there and eating what they were shoveling through that little slot in the door. You know, all that thing about I'm going to do my own thing and freedom and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll tell you what, man, I didn't do such a good job directing my own path. Of course, I know everybody's not like that. Some of you weren't dope heads. Some of you weren't drunks. Some of you weren't gang members. Amen. Some of you weren't heading to prison. But I'm telling you what, no matter who you were or what you were or how you did things, when you are directing your own path, you are directing it into the same devil's hell I was.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, what in the world will make you want to think that you want to go back to running the show? You didn't save yourself. I don't know what happened there with Demas, but I just got to wondering, amen, let me say this too, if you're in here, and you're, in Christian love, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're on your way to the same hell I was. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The Lord's the leader. We're supposed to be following him. Brother Dean spent some time down in North Carolina and probably saw this at least once or twice. I'm not sure if North Carolina had a front license plate or not. But I know Alabama didn't have a front plate. And I was down there one time and I saw a license plate on the front of a car, and it had a little Bible in it, big letters, God is my co-pilot. And I looked at that. God is your co-pilot, huh? I said, I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I don't want to drive anymore. If God was the co-pilot in my life, I would have wrecked and killed us both by now. I'm going to tell you something. God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. And if you want to take the reins back, he'll let you. If you want to direct your own path, he'll let you. He's such a gentleman, he'll bow right out. I've seen him do it in churches. Oh, you don't need me there? That's fine. I'll go someplace where they do. I've seen that in families. I've seen that in ministries. I've seen that in people's lives, where they get a little Bible in them, and they get a little victory, and they clean up their act a little bit, and then they think they're called to do something, and the next thing you know, man, the FBI can't find them with a warrant. They start directing their own path. They get out of the book, they get off their knees, and they start trusting in themselves with all their heart, and leaning unto their own understanding, when verse 5 there in Proverbs 3 says, lean not. And why would it say that? Because that is our tendency. And if we don't keep our guard up, that's what we'll do. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many scriptures you know. I don't care how many times you've been on the street. I don't care how many people you've preached to. You don't keep your guard up. You don't stay on your knees. You don't stay in that book. You can end up missing an action. And why are you preaching this to us? So that you don't.
Amen.
This is too important.
Right.
This is too important. We need every soldier possible for this last fight. The Lord doesn't want to lose one of you. What happened to Demas? I don't know. But maybe quit praying like you should. And I'm here to warn you, if you stop praying like you should, you might end up missing an action too. Amen? This is too big for us. Amen. All right, now, go to Proverbs 13. I think you're already in Proverbs. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. The Bible says this, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, I know that at least for a couple of years, Paul was walking with the wisest men on the planet, spiritually speaking, for sure. Amen. And maybe something changed in that area. But the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And if you want to walk with wise men, you better stick with the crowd that'll provoke you unto love and unto good works. Because not only will that help you, that'll help them. Let me ask you, does the people you hang around with, I'm not talking about when you're in church, amen, I'm talking about when you're not here, when you're at work, when you're at school, do the people you hang around with provoke you to be a better Christian? They need, that's who you need to be hanging around. And at the same time, let me ask you this, do you provoke others to be a better Christian? Do you provoke people to exalt the Lord? Do you provoke people to lean on the Lord? Or is the conversation all, hey, listen, there's days to talk about cars and trucks and motorcycles, whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man the countenance of his friend. Plastic, on the other hand, doesn't sharpen nothing. And I'm going to tell you what, I got no time for plastic Christians that are just going through the motion, that are fake and phony. And this is too big a battle for that. That's why I'm glad God put me with this crowd. That's why I'm glad God put me with men and ladies too that have the guts to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. This isn't just something to do, man. This is our life. Amen. I like that. So I don't claim to be any spiritual giant now, let alone 20 years ago. I just, God saw fit to put me with the right crowd. And you're with the right crowd too. You're with the right crowd that said to you, you need to read your Bible. You need to acknowledge God. And you need to come to church. And if you'll do that, I got news for you. You won't be on the MIA list. Amen? The Bible doesn't record any other fellow laborers forsaking Paul. And a scary thing to me is, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. And I got news for you. It can happen to you too. So I guarantee, I'm almost done. I know some of you are, but I'm almost done. I guarantee Demas never thought he'd be remembered like this. And I'm going to tell you why he is. As a warning to you and me. If you get out of that book, you quit praying, you'll soon quit enjoying the company of people that are in that book and that are praying. You won't want to be around them because nobody likes conviction. Amen? And here's what will happen. Your flesh will cause your affections to turn back to a world. And you'll have plenty of friends to help you along the way. Only problem is, it'll be the wrong way. Again, this is the last mention of Demas. He messed up, and it never mentions that he ever got right. But in the passage, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, the bridge closes at 9. That's the deal. I got it. We got to start at 6 tomorrow. That's all. Amen. Amen. It says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you. Like I say, the passage never shows that Demas ever got right, but here's another fellow that messed up. Here's another fellow that made a bad decision. Here's another fellow that left Paul. But here he is now, profitable for the ministry. Amen. Amen. He got it right. I'll tell you what, I bet he's glad old Uncle Barnabas never gave up on him. I bet he was glad the Lord never gave up on him. I'm glad the Lord doesn't give up on us, aren't you? So, you know, there you go. You got one guy that didn't get it right. But listen, if you're out of the will of God, out of the way, you can get right. God will let you get right. God will let you get up. God will help you up. God will let you back in the fight. Amen. That encourages me. Amen. Let me say this, and I'll really be done, maybe. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven when you die, because you're going to die. You got an appointment with your Maker. We all do. And if you're not sure where you go, I just got to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He won't give up on you either. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. The Bible said, but God committed His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm telling you what, He heard my voice when I called out to Him from a jail cell. And He'll hear your voice if you call out to Him tonight. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, I love You tonight. And I pray You might...